1897, Mark Twain is visiting in London, England. And while he was there, his cousin James became seriously ill but recovered. Somehow, a rumor was received by a newspaper editor in New York that Mark Twain had either died or was about to. So Mark Twain received a wire back from New York to a newspaper editor, and Twain went to correct the situation. He wrote a note, and there's a picture of it right here. The end of that note has a famous quote that a lot of people have heard where Twain said, "This report of my death was an exaggeration." Funny how information changes over time, isn't it? That the report of his death was an exaggeration. I want to include some words of truth in what is said this morning, and I'd like to go to some unlikely sources, some younger scholars of our time, but I want you to consider how very true these statements are from some kids. For instance, Patrick, age 9, says this word of advice: "Never trust a dog with your food." Michael, 14, this is a good one: "When your dad asks you, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer." Randy, "Stay away from prunes." I don't know where he got that, but that's good advice, I guess, when you're 9. Kiyoyo, age 9, says this: "Never hold a dustbuster and a cat at the same time." Naomi, 15, here's a good one: "If you want a kitten, start out by asking for a horse." Lauren, age 9, "Felt markers are not good to use as lipstick." Ladies, there's some advice, I guess, especially if they are permanent. Joel, age 10, "Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat." I'm sure there's a story with that. And here's one for church: Eileen, age 8, "Never try to baptize a cat." All right. Sound advice, amen? Good truth for life, things to live by. Fact is, all of us value truth. At one level or another, we want to know what's true. In fact, we are after truth so much in life, sometimes we turn to some pretty ridiculous places to try to find it.
Wow, I can't believe that Katy Perry was abducted by space aliens from a newly discovered planet, and that's how she got her last few songs. Man, sometimes things sure get misconstrued on Facebook. Oh, here's another top story. Seems like the girl who was just a contestant on that game show about truth might be getting divorced from her husband. Guess he didn't like her truthful answer that she could be with that other guy if she could be. Some people do anything for money, I guess. On the other hand, I wouldn't mind having some extra money myself, especially after finishing that Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University course. Still, I wonder if trading truth for money is a good idea. What is true anyway? Let's see what else is in here. Kardashians are going public. Brad actually never left Angelina. Plus, Tom and Katie are fighting again. Sure seems like she likes to spend money, and he honestly believes all that Scientology stuff is true. Gosh, right here is an article on the end of the world. It's supposed to be on December 2nd, 2018. If that's true, I guess I've got some things to get ready for.
Wanting to know truth also touches honest pursuits in life, and it's got people who are trying to find, again, where should I be looking for what's true?
Man, I can't believe how many essay questions are supposed to be on this test. I mean, I've listened in class, I've taken scads of notes, I've done research on the internet and at the library. I'm just wondering about some of this material. It just doesn't make sense to me that the Earth could be billions and billions of years old. In fact, the newest archaeological and scientific findings are showing a lot of evidence for a much younger Earth than a created universe. A lot of respected scientists are pointing out that dinosaurs were likely created by God along with everything else. Wouldn't that be cool? And yet, this article I found on the internet makes global warming sound like the ultimate evidence against creation. It's kind of hard to sort things out. I want to do well on this exam, but I know I'll get points taken off if I don't see eye to eye with my professor. And surely, you can't just write something in a book or post anything on the an article on the internet unless it's true. Or can you? What exactly is the standard for truth anyway?
And it's not like needing to know truth matters just if you're a student. Truth is something that we really need to be able to apply in some of the very most practical matters of life.
Oh, on hold. Again, story of my life. I don't even know how companies can call this customer service. Anyway, after all, I'm a customer, and I can receive, I'm receiving no service, as far as I can tell. Okay. Yes, yes, a real person. Okay, hello, hi. My name is Sarah Giacomo, and I've been on hold, like, forever. Yes, I'm calling about my vacuum. I'm calling because I need an approval for a refund or exchange or something like that. Because it's broken. Okay, no, I suppose I can just tell you everything. I just assumed since I'd already told about a gazillion people, maybe, you know, three. But okay, I guess I can tell you again. I have a vacuum, bought it from your company, and it is broken. And so I'm looking here at your return policy, and it says here that I bought it 31 days ago, and it says here, word for word, 31 days, any reason, any time, I can get a refund. It's broken. No, it's broken. Okay, so maybe I sucked up a diaper or a baby toy, but still, it's broken. It's not working. I just want my refund. Yes, 31 days. What? Isn't that true? You're telling me today is technically the 32nd day. Right. Okay. And that for any other reason, on this one day, you would have given me grace, but because, you know, diaper thing. Okay. Yeah. So, but it says for any reason at any time, and you're telling me that's not true. Okay, well, I picked this vacuum because of your return policy. You really shouldn't make claims about your company or your product that aren't true. Well, I have a mess I've got to clean, and I need a vacuum that works. What am I supposed to do now?
Turns out that honesty is also very important in relationships. In fact, it's very important in the very most essential relationships, and it's foundational in a marriage.
You're home late again. Don't you know I worry about you when you're not home on time? Seriously, all those traffic accidents at rush hour, all the crazy people in the world anymore. And no, I know you weren't at a meeting. I called and left you a message about dinner, and your secretary said that you'd already left at 4 p.m. No. No, I... No, I'm not spying on you. Truly, I'm not. Well, that's true. I haven't been very... I've been pretty mistrusting of you ever since you bought all that fishing equipment and didn't tell me how much it cost. If you can lie about something so little, what else could you be lying to me about? You what? You what? You had a late lunch with her? But you promised. I mean, that's one of our boundary rules for our marriage. You never have lunch alone with someone of the opposite sex, and especially not her. Because it just looks wrong. To who? To me. To everyone. She's not your wife. I am. Lunch is only the beginning. You and I both know that... Did I hear you right? This isn't the first lunch meeting you've had with her? What? I don't believe this. You're attracted to her. But we made a promise to each other. I feel like the life I thought we had is just over. Like everything I thought was true might not be anymore.
Truth. Not everybody speaks it. Not everybody puts it into practice consistently. And yet, all of us find that it's something that's very important. It matters. And this morning, that's the main message of this message, that being a person of honesty is a part of being a person of truth. I want you to see this morning that it matters to God, first of all. Truth matters to God, and that should make it important to us. Governor Pilate was in a pickle as he was plying questions to Jesus, getting frustrated. You could see it on his face as Jesus runs through all these questions and says to Pilate, "Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Can you hear Pilate as he turns around and mutters under his breath, "What is truth?" The prevailing view of truth into modern times is one that we have usually defined by what was called a correspondence theory. It means that truth is that which corresponds to reality. Something is true if it really exists. If it is real, it's true. But in what's called the postmodern era that we live in, truth has really taken some hard hits. Most people's definition of truth has been reduced to experience in life. Forget philosophy, forget rational thinking, forget theory. If experience causes me to feel something is true, that's what makes it true. It's something that I shape by my personal feelings, by my experiences, what's true to me. And after all, that's what matters, right? Truth. The massing of information in our generation has also opened the door to this idea. Did you know you can find anything on the internet? Anything. And some of it will even be true. But here's a question. Who will guide us through that? Who will help us to sort through it all? Who is going to teach our children to discern between what they can trust and what can't be trusted in this compiling of information? Years ago, information was comparatively rare. When something is rare, it's valuable, isn't it? And quality matters. But that's out the window where information is concerned now. We have given up worrying about the quality of information, and we make up for it with quantity. So information is this huge pile of stuff. It's a commodity. It's something that we use to turn a profit or to make some things happen, to create an experience. The quality doesn't seem to matter, just if the experience works. Truth goes out the window. Have you noticed how movie-making technology has blurred the lines between reality and entertainment? A movie, if I go to a movie, is its own virtual world. I could even go to the 3D movie, pay extra, put those glasses on, and I feel like I'm in the movie. And that's the experience that's being created. It's this own little reality where for that short time, what's true is what I experience there. But then the movie's over, and I leave the theater, and reality comes back. And it turns out that people don't really fly or teleport or shoot webs out of their wrists. Cars really don't drive that way. James Bond would have been dead several times over. That's what we've done with this concept we call truth. When I think of truth, when I think of that concept, what I think of it is going to impact the way I live, right? I want to know what God thinks about truth. I want to understand truth from his perspective. I want to understand God's definition of what's true. How about you? Or let me ask it this way. Why else are you here today? We want to understand truth from God's perspective. Amen? One of the ways that we can get there is to take a look at what God has to say of his feelings, his thoughts about untruth. Ready? Here we go. Proverbs 12:22. Audience participation time. Ready? The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Proverbs 20:23, the Lord detests differing weights, and dishonest scales do not please him. Zechariah 8:17, do not plot evil against your neighbor. Do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, declares the Lord. Proverbs 6:16 tells us there are six things the Lord hates. Yes, God hates some things. Seven that are an abomination to him. Read down the list and you'll get these. A lying tongue, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. These are things God hates. Psalm 5, verse 6. You destroy those who tell lies, bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. All right. Speaking of lies making God angry, do you remember a couple back in the fifth chapter of Acts named Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira got together to conspire a plot to cheat the church and get ahead. I'm not going to sing the song. Anyhow, that's a husband and wife who sold a plot of land and gave some of the money to the church. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with selling land that you own. Nothing wrong with giving some of the money to the church and keeping it for yourself. Nothing wrong with that. And then they lied about how much they were giving, and God struck them dead on the spot for lying. What, was God just having a bad day? Or is it possible that God's very being is so utterly contrary to lying that he simply won't tolerate it after all? The scriptures tell us it's impossible for God to lie, that God himself does not change like shifting shadows. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, and God is described as the one who punishes those who use dishonesty and deceit to get ahead in life. So does it surprise us that when we see that God is like that, that he's not going to allow in his perfect heaven the presence of falsehood, that it would be marring? Listen to this. Are you listening? Liars will be kept out of heaven. Romans 2:8, Paul says, those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, for them there will be wrath and anger. We get to Revelation 21:8. It's a picture of the end of times and the finalization of the world as it's now. It gets changed. And it says there in verse 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Psalm 101, verse 7 says, no one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. The God who is truth, the God who doesn't lie, who punishes lies and doesn't tolerate falsehood, is the same God who rewards and praises people who live by the truth. Look what he says to his church in Ephesians 4. We'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Peter said, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. Folks, do you believe it? Truth matters to God. Truth matters to God. It's not just some quirk he has. It's not just something that is very important to him on a day he's having a bad day. His holy nature demands it. And there's nothing false or deceitful about him. And so he gives us commands about not giving false testimony, about putting off falsehood, about wearing truth like a belt that holds everything together. All of them pointing back to this fact, truth matters to him. Now, in case you haven't given it much thought, and in case that's not enough, I want to point out to you also that truth matters to you. Truth matters to us today. You don't even have to be a person who cares about God to appreciate this very much. Just like we were reminded at the beginning here today, truth matters to us. We're interested in other people telling the truth. Amen? You want everybody to tell the truth to you. We're interested in that happening, and there's a reason for it. It's necessary for life. Regardless of how many people live or speak like they don't think it matters, really, deep down inside of us, yes, hearing truth spoken to us matters to us. I already said it's necessary for us to enter heaven. In more than one place, the scriptures talk about the kind of people who won't be permitted. Another one is Revelation 22:15, where it says, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices, what's the word? Falsehood. Liars. It's necessary also to the fabric of society. A few years back, we went into a DVD rental store, a movie rental place. Yes, they actually used to watch movies on these discs called DVDs. And we were returning a movie to the rental place, and I had mishandled this disc and actually cracked it somehow, getting it out of the case or something. I cracked it, and I felt bad about that, so I went, the manager was working that day, and so I told him, as I turned it back to him, hey, I accidentally cracked this, and I need to get it fixed. I need to pay for this because it was my fault. And he said, don't worry about it. This happens once in a while, but nobody ever says anything about it. They just turn them in and say nothing. Have you ever run into that kind of a thing? In other words, owning up to the truth is the exception. You ever hear that? You ever try to give the cashier back, hey, you gave me too much change, and they look at you in shock, like, what's wrong with you? People don't do that. It's the exception. Does it matter, really? I want to say it does matter. In fact, it's part of the very fabric of society. Why do we have contracts? Why do we have witnesses? Why do we have notary publics who put their stamp in witness to a signature? Why do we get forms in triplicate? Why are there lie detector tests? It's all for the purpose of establishing and proving what's true. We still recognize how necessary it is in life to be able to say with certainty something is true. It corresponds with reality. Every one of us wants to know certain things in life are true. That's why there are report cards. Kid brought home his report card, had a lot of bad grades on it. His mom's looking it over, looking at him. She says, what do you have to say about this? He said, well, at least you know I'm not cheating. You know, as a spouse, I want to know that my wife truly loves me. As a parent, I wanted to know my kids were telling me the truth. As a consumer, I want to know that a company's claims are true, like if a vacuum cleaner breaks down. As a friend, I want to know that I can trust the reliability of my friend. As a citizen, I would like to know that my government is speaking the truth to me. As a patient, I'd like to be confident that my doctor is telling me the truth. Take that out of the equation, and there's this paralysis that comes into life. For society to function, there's got to be some measure of truth. That's why we work so hard to prove the truth and the reliability of all of those things. So here's the question, all right? This is a short message today because you were supposed to be picking up on it at the beginning too. Here's the question that this comes down to. What do we do about it? What do I do about it? Because I can't make you or anybody else tell the truth, can I? I don't have control over that. So what do I do about it? I'm glad you asked that. It's not just up to everybody else telling the truth. It's up to me. Just as much in every area of life, it's up to me to make a commitment to be personally truthful. See, truth as a way of life is a necessary part of God's family. And if you're in God's family, you take that seriously. Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices. Ephesians 4:25 says, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. See, the church is a family, isn't it? And if we are part of a family, then we ought to bear the marks of that family. When you're a Christian, you are a child of the God of truth. So lies are not becoming to you. In fact, lies are the native tongue of the devil. Truth is the language of heaven. When you mess up and you admit it, not only do you show that you trust that God is going to be able to make things all right, even if you go as far as to tell the truth, but you also demonstrate to everybody around you that you have in your life the values of that family that you belong to. When you're at school and all the kids at school are cheating and you don't, you show what it means to belong in this family where you value honesty in what you do. When people avoid the church, when people give a reason that they won't be a part of the church, the number one reason that people say they won't is actually a matter of truth. You know that? It's because they say the church has people in it who aren't honest. They're hypocrites. Of course, that doesn't keep those people from watching sports or buying groceries or going camping with hypocrites. But when they have a reason not to come into the family of believers, the reason they give most often is a reason about truth. They're saying they want people to be true. They don't want to hang around phonies. You know, I can appreciate that. I don't either. I don't want to hang around with phonies. And they can appreciate also, those people, that God's not going to allow phonies into heaven. Heaven's going to be phony free. Liars won't be allowed. This morning, we're going at one point to invite you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. This is the same Jesus, by the way, who said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So it really comes down to this very important question about Jesus Christ. Can you trust him? Is what he says true? At no other point does truth matter more than this. The only way that you can be in a right relationship with God is through his Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If that statement is true, then no other subject is more important this morning. And it's a matter of truth. Every week as we come together and observe the Lord's Supper together, we're reaffirming by doing that how important we think truth is. Unless what we believe is true, then what we are about to do, the Lord's Supper, is foolish. When you think about it, unless you believe that Jesus is true, this whole time, this thing that is really the focus of us gathering together every week is empty of meaning. But if Jesus truly did leave heaven, if Jesus really did empty himself and take on human flesh, then this bread that we will take up in our hands really represents something important to us and a cross that is of amazing significance. If we really do need a Savior, if that is true, and if the blood of Jesus was given as a sacrifice in our place, then this cup that we will take in our hands has incredible significance to us, a great attraction. If the church today really is the body of Christ, if we come together today as members of that body together, to carry out his will on earth, then the fact that we are here together, sharing this time together, makes this a wonderful occasion, doesn't it? And if it's true that there is a right attitude and a wrong attitude that we can bring into this time. So much so that we can either bring judgment on ourselves or we can truly have fellowship with God. Then the mindset that we bring into this moment really matters too. If by doing this we show the Lord's death for us, and we are making a statement that he is going to return, then the truth of those things is very important to us. This is a time to reaffirm these things that we believe to be true from God's Word. This morning we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. The tables are set up around the auditorium. This one here and some in the back, and just whatever is closest to you. We want you to feel free after some time to meditate and some quiet time to get up and just go to one of those tables and share the Lord's Supper. It might be that today there is somebody here you know is struggling, and a brother or sister in Christ that you need to come along, literally come alongside and pray with them and encourage them. This is a great time to do that. This is the time when we as the family of God reiterate these things to be true. Let's pray. Father, we don't come because we have nothing else to do. We don't come because our time is just so full that it needs to be filled up with something. We're here today because this is the most important thing we could be doing. We are here, Lord, because we believe Jesus is who he claimed to be. And we believe that you have invited us to remember him in this way. So, Father, thank you that for us, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the life of Christ given in our behalf is important to us. We thank you. We thank you that today we can share this together as a family. And so, Father, help us, please, to put aside the things that distract us from right thinking, to put aside wrong attitudes, wrong hearts right now. Help us to embrace these truths that are so important in our life. We thank you for Jesus, for what he means, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.